No, it's not a hunch, loved one. It's not fault finding. It's not that you're a hypocrite, Hunter. It's not the gift of suspicion. Amen? No, it's the gift. It's the discerning of spirits. It's to discern for many things. For example, those who teach the truth and don't teach the truth.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, everyone, and happy Monday to you. On Love Never Fails this week, Pastor Bill's study from 1 Corinthians addresses the gifts of the Spirit. And today, he concludes the message, the gifts of revelation. Now, let's join Pastor Bill.
I'm standing at the pulpit. And right here, and service is over. We finished praying with everyone, and she's walking this way, and I call her by name. I say, hey, how are you doing? And the moment I saw her, God gave me a word of knowledge, a divine fact from the mind of God, just a fragment. But I mean, I saw it. I saw a past act that was leading into the present. And I stopped her. I said, listen, I know that you know that I love you. And I'd do anything for you. We've proven those things. She said, oh, yeah, Bill, absolutely. And I said, I'm going to share what the Holy Spirit just showed me. And I said, I saw you behind a counter at the place where you work. And I said, behind you was a young man. And I said, you have feelings for him, and he has feelings for you, and you're married with 5 children. And I said, but he's saying such wonderful things to you because your husband's not. And it's just really capturing your heart. He wants to be with you. He wants to know you in a biblical sense. You know what I'm saying? And I said, if what I said to you is not true, I called her by her name. I said, I want you to slap me in my face as hard as you can. And she started crying. She said, every word that you said, Bill, is true. How did you know that? I said, I just saw him. I know what he looks like. I know the place where you work. I saw all the colors. I saw what he was wearing. I know the color of his hair, the color of his eyes. I know what he's saying to you. If you don't quit today, you're going to sin with that man. She said, I'm going to quit right now. Man, I was so thankful. And I said, Lord, I gave him praise. Do you understand? Thank you, Lord. I mean, I was blown away. And then the next week, all of a sudden, the husband shows up, Bill, you're not going to believe what's happened. I said, what? She committed adultery. I said, what? Make a long story short, the marriage nearly was destroyed, but through counseling, it was all healed, put back together. Then they both went into full-time ministry. But the gifts didn't harm that person. Are you listening to me? It loved that person. Listen, God was warning and telling you can't do those things. Does that make sense? It wasn't like, look at me, I have a word, I'm somebody. No, dear God, that's not what it is at all. Listen, you know, the things that God will do, a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, working together. When my first pastor and I was leaving one day, it was a day's like we've just had all this rain. I was so sad. And I mean, truth is, I was weeping. My wife and I, we were so broke, and we didn't have any funds. Matter of fact, whenever I left that first pastorate, there's a gentleman sitting in this congregation right now. He's the only one. He was at that church, and he's the only one that helped me load my U-Haul trailer when we left. This honest God truth. And it was raining. Amen? Listen, and I said, Lord, it was about noon. I said, I am so burdened. I said, I'm so tired of hurting, Lord, in my heart. Not knowing what to do. There was a roadside park on the side of the road. I was on my way to Fort Worth. And as I passed that roadside park, all of a sudden, man, the joy of the Lord became my strength. Everything changed in my heart. And I'm going, oh, I thought, you answered my prayer. Oh, God, thank you. And I mean, I was just, man, everything was great. So the next day, right? So the next day, I run into a guy. He was a plumber. You know those plumbers, something, you know, kind of get a little stuff in their mouth? You know that, what's that called? Tobacco. You know, he's got his Levi's in his boots, how they tuck him in. He's got his belt. It's kind of hanging over. And he's, hey, Bill. No, I'm serious. This guy loves the Lord. Good man. Hard working, honest. I mean, loves the do anything for God. He said, He said, man, he said, man, I was burdened for you yesterday. I said, you were? He said, yeah. He said, I was driving my truck on the way to a job. And he said, the Lord said, the Holy Spirit said, pull over in that roadside park right there and start praying for Bill. I said, he did? I said, what time was that? Oh, about lunch, about noon. And I said, dear Lord, the moment I passed that road, remember? Now, how did he know that? Do you understand what I'm getting at? See, loved one, listen, when that's what the word of knowledge and all those things do, it's amazing to see those things happen. You know, I'm reluctant to share this with you, but I'm going to, and then we're going to move on to the discerning of the spirits. This service is different from the first service, by the way. Several years ago, I was in my study preparing to go and preach here, of course, on a Saturday. The Holy Spirit gave me a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom about an individual. I didn't know much about what was going on in his private life. I called that individual up. I said, I don't understand what I'm about to tell you, but tomorrow, your best friend is going to be coming to your home. I'm telling you in Jesus' name, do not answer your door. If he calls on the phone, do not pick up. Don't even talk to anyone. You stay in your house tomorrow, and if he comes to the door, you do not open the door. He said, what? Are you out of your mind? It's true. I said, I beg you in Jesus' name. Hung up, went back to preparing. The next day, he calls me. He said, listen to me, my best friend's knocking on my door right now. He's knocking and he's calling my name and he's been calling on the phone and I'm doing what you're telling me. He's my best friend. I said, don't open the door. Don't let him know that you are there. Don't say one word and don't you dare open that door in the name of Jesus. He didn't open the door. He watched his friend from the balcony of his house get in the car and leave. The next morning, I received a phone call from the person that I gave the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom to. He said, you just saved my life. I said, what do you mean? He said, my best friend was in a bad drug deal last night. They took him out and they executed him in a field right over there, and I can give you the name of the street. Had I gotten into the car, I would be dead. Now, loved one, listen to me. I could call that person up on my phone right this minute, and he'd testify to that. You see, it was God who saved his life. Are you listening to me? Now, I don't know why the Lord didn't tell me about the individual, about why. He only gave me a divine fragment. Do you understand? He didn't tell me that there was going to be an execution, that there was a drug deal gone wrong. He didn't tell me any of those things. All I knew was he was not to see, not to talk, not to get into that car. That's all I knew. And you see, you think you're crazy. Do you understand? No, you do. You're going, I'm out of my mind. The cheese has slipped off the cracker. It's over with. You know, but really. But you know. You just know in your heart. I don't know how it works. It just works. And even today when I see him, he always says, I'll never forget the night that Jesus saved my life. Why that boy had to die, I don't know. But I wasn't told any of that. Had I would have, it would have been different, amen? But it wasn't. What are you saying, Bill? I'm saying that there are times if you don't step out, you know, well, Bill, it sounds crazy, but if you don't step out, how are you going to learn? How are you ever going to learn how the Spirit is working with you? Because he works with all of us differently. And you know, the main thing, the number one thing is going, I'm crazy. This is not true. I'm going to be embarrassed. I'm not going to share this. There's something wrong with me. Well, that's how you learn. If you miss it, what's happened? Well, you missed it. You're a moron. Who cares? But if you didn't miss it, and it does come to pass, then all of a sudden you sit back and you know what happens? You then understand the here-ness and the now-ness and the realness of God. You understand that God is a supernatural God, that he really is real and he's really using you for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. That builds up the body. It never harms. It helps one another. That's what the gifts are about. Now, let's go to verse 10, and then let's look at the last gift I want to talk about of the gifts of revelation, the discerning of spirits. Now, it says in verse 10, another the working of miracles, prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. Now, the discerning of spirits, did you see the word spirits? Okay, that is a supernatural ability, whenever God allows it, to discern into what is not seen. In other words, are there angels all around us right now? Do you see them? No, but the gift of discernment, if he chose to let that operate in you for a moment, a second, 2 minutes, whatever it was, then you would see what's going on. It's the discernment of spirits. Very important. Listen carefully. It's not the gift of discernment. Well, I'm discerning something about you. No, it's not a hunch, loved one. It's not fault finding. It's not that you're a hypocrite hunter. It's not the gift of suspicion. Amen? No, it's the gift. It's the discerning of spirits. It's to discern for many things. For example, those who teach the truth and don't teach the truth. Those who are being led by the flesh, those are being led by the spirit, and so forth. For example, 1 Thessalonians 5:20, do not despise prophecies. I should say, are any of the gifts. Test and prove all things. The discerning of spirits have to do with good angels, has to do with bad angels. It has to for some to see into that realm as God so chooses. It says in 1 John 4:1, it says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. There are only two spirits in operation today, the spirit of truth, that's the word of God, and the spirit of error, that's John 8:44, the father of all lies, which is the devil, okay? And the spirit of error, the spirit of things that are false. People are so persuaded by them, they act upon them, they trust in them, and their whole life is absolutely ruined when they trust what is false. It says in 1 Timothy 4:1, now the spirit expressly says, in latter times some will depart from the faith, and here's why. Depart from the faith. Think about that. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and the doctrines of demons. The word doctrine of demons means things taught by demons. When demons are not visibly teaching, they're teaching through an individual. They use humans. Amen? And that's what the gift of discerning of spirits is all about. Now, to see what it does is it enables you to see what the natural eye cannot see. I don't understand all of that, and I don't pretend, and I don't think anybody else does either. But the discernment of spirits is what you see with the supernatural eye of God. You're not seeing with the natural eye at all. You know, it's also discerning of the moving of the Holy Spirit of God. There are times that Kevin and I will go out and talk and say, the Lord is moving this direction. Is that not true? And I'll say, am I right, Kevin? He'll say, yes. Or he'll say the same thing to me. Because we're discerning the movement of the Lord. It's his church. Does that make sense? I'm not the leader. He's the chief shepherd. I'm just an under-shepherd. Now, so another good example would be of something good about discerning of spirits would be Stephen. And the member of the longest speech in the New Testament, Acts chapter 7, Stephen giving all that speech, man, they're getting ready to kill him and stone him. He's going to become the first martyr of the church. And it says in Acts 7:55, it says, but he being full of the Holy Spirit, meaning Stephen, he looked into heaven, he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, look, I see heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. So the Holy Spirit turned his hour of death, his hour of martyrdom, if you will, into an incredible divine revelation from God. Now, not only that, the discerning of spirits also is the capacity to discern evil spirits. What they're doing is amazing. For example, whenever Peter was with Simon the sorcerer, and there in Acts chapter 8, verse 23, when he looked at him, because remember, he was trying to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit, the laying hands on people. Remember that? And Peter looked at him and he says, oh, man, I see. He's looking at his person. But he said, I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. In other words, you are a prisoner of sin. You are a prisoner of Satan. There's wicked demonic spirits all over you. How did he know that? Discerning of spirits. In Paul, in Acts chapter 16, verse 16, remember when at the time of prayer, that little girl that was following him all around, it says that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, brought her much master's much profit by fortune telling, okay? She was demon possessed. This girl followed Paul and cried out, or literally the demon was crying out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. In other words, this is how you need to be saved. And she did this for many days. And Paul, being greatly grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, not to the girl. We don't fight against flesh and blood. Said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her that very hour. It's amazing how that spirit in that story did not draw attention to Jesus Christ. These men. You see, that's what these false spirits do. They never exalt Jesus Christ. They never bring him glory. Are you listening to me? Okay. Now, discerning of spirits is a divine ability to see the presence at times, whenever God wants it, the presence and the activity of an evil spirit or even a good spirit, a good angel, and how he motivates, or that demonic demon or good angel motivates a human being. I think out of all the gifts, the discerning of spirits to me scares me, and it always has, because you see into a realm that's truly there. You don't know. See, our eyes are so hidden, loved one. There is a reality just beyond the veil right here. You have no idea. Do you understand me? I don't know how all the gifts work, but I know that we're not to be ignorant of them. But I know this discerning of spirits is an unbelievable thing. In my very first pastorate, I say all this with deep humility, loved one. I was a young man learning about I didn't understand much as I do today. And as I was locking up the church, on the doors of the church, the windows had that, you know, that film that like, see like a mirror, you know what I mean? You could see what was behind you. Doesn't that make sense? So I'm locking this up and I noticed that there's, you know, I felt like there's somebody staring at me. That's a creepy feeling. And so I locked the door and I looked into the glass as I'm locking it, and there's a car across the street with this guy sitting there, but he's just staring at me. And, you know, I'm going, what is him? Is he going to shoot me? Is he one of the mad parishioners, you know? So I leave, and there on the door, there's a little thing that says, in case of emergency, call this number, and it was my number. So I get home and the telephone starts ringing, and the voice, didn't say hello, didn't say, is this Bill? Nothing. He said, is this the man in the blue shirt? I said, who is this? He said, are you the man that in front of the church with the blue shirt? I said, yes. I said, I'm wearing a blue shirt. He said, you're supposed to pray for me. I said, really? I'm being honest with you. I said, oh, God, protect me. I said, you bet. I said, there's going to be a service tonight at 6:00. You're more than welcome to come to it. See you later. I just hung up. Because I'm going, this is crazy. Do you understand what I'm getting at? Thank you. I need your help. So to make a long story short, so I'm supposed to teach that night. My brother is with me, and he says, Bill, I'm going to teach tonight. I said, fine, I'll run the sound. So I go up into the balcony there, and I'm running the sound that night. They finish the praise and worship. They go through and my brother's, starting to preach. And that guy that called, are you the man in the blue shirt? I'm up in the balcony. I saw him walk down the middle aisle and sit at the front. And then as I saw him walking, everything stopped. Everything changed. And I saw two somethings beside him, one on each side. One had a hand on this shoulder. One had a hand on that shoulder. I see me standing at the altar praying for him. And I see the hands remove, those black hands remove the demonic, whatever they were. And I see these figures run down the aisle, and literally I heard the doors open as they left. I'm sitting up there, and I am going crazy. I'm telling you the truth. I said, this is honest to God, I said, oh, Father, please help me. I said, I'm having a nervous breakdown. I said, this is killing me. This place is killing me. This church is killing me. I don't know what it was. I said, I can't do this. This is, what is wrong? What have I done? Have I sinned? I mean, I was praying for forgiveness of my sins and everybody else's sins. I didn't know what was going on. No, I'm serious. So I stay up there and I just go, okay, what's wrong with me? Forget it. This is crazy. So I go down, I'm working the sound, and all of a sudden, you know, the service is over, and my brother goes, okay, if anybody needs prayer, we're going to have people at the altar tonight to pray for you. And so there's a few people that come down, and that guy gets out of the chair and gets right down there. And as my brother prays with this person, and comes to that guy, you know, the guy says, is this a blue shirt? You know, that guy. He's just getting ready to pray. He stops. I'll never forget the look on my brother's face. He's with the Lord now. Never forget it. He just stopped, and he looked up at me in the balcony. He says, Bill, I'm not supposed to pray for this man. You're supposed to pray for this man. Would you come down here and please? Now, do you understand what I'm getting at? I walked down there, and I this is all I did. I said, Father, in Jesus' name, you take your hands off this man right now. The man was saved, delivered from, he was a drunkard and a drug addict, and he was saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? The next week, he brings his girlfriend, who is a drug addict, and God saves and delivers her. Now listen, you say, Bill, you're out of your mind. I know it. But see, listen, that really happened. Is it going to happen that way to you? I don't know. You're different than me. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, the gifts aren't that way. That's why, listen, here's the deal. I always ask myself, what if I'd have been disobedient? You see how silly all of that sounds crazy? That doesn't happen today. Yes, it does. But had I been disobedient, had I said to myself, okay, Lord, the cheese has slid off the cracker for good, okay? No, I would have missed the adventure, and that person would have not been delivered. Does that make sense? See, that's how you learn. That's how you grow, is because you let the Lord use you. You don't belong to yourself. You're a purchased possession. You belong to Him. And you know, I can't. Yeah, you're afraid. You're afraid because you see all the nonsense on TV, or you've been to some crazy, wild whatever. Listen, God doesn't honor flesh. God doesn't glorify man. He glorifies Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's what you need to see. Look at verse 11. But one in the same spirit works all these things, distributing to each one, not as you will, not whenever you think you want it, as He wills. Listen, the Holy Spirit, He is the giver. He gives only when He wills. He manifests the gifts only when He wants to. And that is unity in diversity. You understand? Oh, loved one, listen, each gift is different, but the Holy Spirit is the same. Don't be ignorant. Man, Bible colleges and seminaries and pastors and prophets, evangelists, they cannot impart one thing to you. It's outside of their domain. Do you understand? It only comes from the Holy Spirit when He wills, as He wills, and not any other time. You don't own it. He owns it. And He owns the believer. Amen? So important that we see that. Listen, these are the three gifts that reveal. They all have to do with the knowledge of God. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discernment of spirits. Loved one, listen, I know it's time to go, but listen carefully. The people, the men who wrote the New Testament under the power of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit to those men, the Holy Spirit wasn't a doctrine. They knew He was divine helper of the church. They knew He was real. They knew He was God. Do you understand? They believed in the here-ness and the now-ness and the supernaturalness of God, and they feared the Lord. And they were used by God, and they turned the world upside down. When I drove in this morning with Rebecca, we looked at each other as we were talking, as I said earlier, about the very beginning of our walk all the way back at Calvary Vegas. We looked at each other and said, you know, honey, it has been an adventure. Whew, what an adventure. What a great adventure. Don't you want an adventure? Don't you want to leave this life saying, I had an adventure with Jesus? You know why? Jesus said, listen, in Mark 1:17, Jesus said, listen, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus said in John 8:12, he says, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus said in John 9:23, if anyone desires to come after me, if you want me, if you want to travel with me, he says, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. You can't follow him. You can't have an adventure with Jesus unless you obey what he said in John 3:7. Jesus said, you must be born again. That's the only way you'll ever have an adventure with Jesus. That's the only way you'll ever have your sins forgiven. That's the only way that you'll ever make heaven your home. There's no other way but Jesus.
Pastor Bill's study from 1 Corinthians continues on our next broadcast. So please make a note to tune in again, won't you? We want to thank you for listening along with us today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org.
or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.